Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WKMZ-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now your host, author, pastor, and teacher, Doug Joseph.
Previously, we brought you part 7 of a series called The Doctrine of the Last Things. Today, we want to bring you part 8 of that series. But first, we want to bring you some great music from our friends Phillips, Craig, and Dean. From their project titled Let the Worshippers Arise, this is You Are God Alone.
You are not a God created by human hands. You are not a God dependent on any mortal man. You are not a God in need of anything we can give by your plan. That's just the way it is. You are not a God created by human hands. You are not a God dependent on any mortal man. You are not a God in need of anything we can give by your plan. That's just the way it is. You are God alone from before time began. You were on your throne. You are God alone. And right now, in the good times and bad, you are on your throne. And you are that's what you are.
The Bible is filled with many prophecies, the vast majority of which have already been fulfilled, coming to pass exactly as they were foretold. The odds are astronomical against any document having so many prophecies fulfilled. This speaks to the trustworthiness of God's Word and should give even the toughest skeptic reason to fear, especially when we consider that among the prophecies that are yet to be fulfilled are dire warnings of a time of judgments so terrible that it will be the worst, most horrific period in all of Earth's history. Eschatology is the study of the end time. I encourage you to seek the face of the Lord as together we study the doctrine of last things. His feet will be upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives
shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north and half of it toward the south. And then look with me at verse 6. And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. And it shall be in that city that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea and half of them toward the hinder sea. In summer and in winter shall it be. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one. Aren't you glad that you know what that one name is? Somebody shout out his name, Jesus. Amen. Look at verse 12. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet. And their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. And it shall come to pass in that day that a great tumult from the Lord shall be among them, and they shall lay hold every one on the hand of his neighbor, and his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor. And Judah also shall fight at Jerusalem, and the wealth of all the heathen round about shall be gathered together, gold and silver and apparel in great abundance. And so shall be the plague of the horse and the mule and of the camel and of the ass and of the beasts that shall be in these tents as this plague. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whosoever will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. And this leads us to the judgment of nations. The Lord Jesus spoke of this in Matthew chapter 25. And as scripture says there, beginning with verse 31, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them, the one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then shall the king say to them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, enter the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also to them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily, verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not unto me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. So at the conclusion of the great tribulation, we see a 7-year period of horrific judgment that in which begins this horrible campaign known as Armageddon. And at the conclusion of this horrific battle, the Lord will have vanquished all of those in authority over this new one world government and this one world church and this one world currency, and the Lord Jesus Christ himself will set up the messianic government. The scripture indicates that believers will be empowered in this government. The scripture describes it this way: we will rule and reign with him. And you have heard me say, perhaps many times, I believe there's a very good chance that people who were very powerful in this age will have no power at all in that age. And people who in this age were very meek and very lowly and not in positions of power may very well be elevated to positions of great power in that age. I'm convinced there will be precious saints who in this life were filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name, living a repentant life before the Lord, who their highest claim to fame may have been Sunday school teacher and a person who served by cleaning the church. They may be put in charge of entire nations during that day. We have no idea yet what the Lord will ask of us during this reign. We do know that this period will last for 1,000 years before the unsaved in the earth will rise up after 1,000 years of near paradise on the earth. They will rise up against the Lord again, and the Lord will have to bring a final judgment in which the wicked are completely destroyed off the face of the earth, and the earth will be transitioned into a place where only the righteous, only the believers dwell. And you can read about the 1,000-year reign in Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 through 9. And the scripture says, I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshiped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Then when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to deliver them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And so this will usher in, and as you know, there's been a great deal of biblical prophecy about the millennial kingdom age, and a lot of that prophecy being diligently studied by me resulted in the writing of my first novel, The New Immortal. And so all of those things that the Bible says about the millennial kingdom age will go into this 1,000-year period, including humans upon the earth that are not yet glorified. Immortals will have increasingly long lifespans. And so we see in this moment the end of the first resurrection, Satan bound for 1,000 years, Jesus reigning on the earth for 1,000 years. Thus, it's often called the millennium, which means 1,000 years in the Latin language. All the fulfillment of promises to Abraham, David, and Israel. The cosmos, the universe, will be restored to its originally intended state, liberated from the curse. Saints will be rewarded and will rule with Christ. And then at the end of the 1,000 years will come the battle of Gog and Magog. Now, I want to tell you unashamedly that we as Pentecostals are what scholars call premillennialists. That means that we believe that there is a thousand-year reign coming, and we believe that it has not come yet. Thus, we are living pre or before the millennial kingdom age. This is a plain sense interpretation of Scripture. It is a literal view that Christ will come before the millennium. You hear what I'm saying? We are before the Great Tribulation. We are before the millennial kingdom age. And the Lord Jesus Christ is going to physically return to the earth before the millennial kingdom age, or that 1,000-year period. There are liberal and allegorical views that are referred to as postmillennialism or amillennialism. Postmillennials believe that the Lord Jesus Christ will come after the millennial kingdom age, and they do not take the millennial kingdom age to be literally a 1,000-year period. To them, just like they think a 24-hour day in Genesis can refer to an epoch of billions of years, they think a 1,000-year period in the book of Revelation can refer to however long you want it to be. And these folks believe the Lord Jesus will return afterward, and many of them believe that we're already in this, their version of the millennial time period. Amillennialists don't believe there will be a millennial period at all. And some of them don't believe the Lord will ever return. So postmillennialism expects that the gospel is going to be so successful in our current age that we're going to win a majority of people to the Lord Jesus so that righteousness will triumph over evil. Now, to those people, I would say, what about all those verses that say that many travel on the road to destruction, but only few find the way that leads to life? The Lord Jesus didn't seem to foretell that we were going to have a fabulous success with the gospel in our current time period. The wonderful scholarly book titled Dispensationalism by author Charles C. Ryrie describes how that in every dispensation up until now, and including what is prophesied to happen at the end of this one, and even what is prophesied to happen at the end of the next one. And in that regard, folks, remember that the 1,000-year reign or the millennial kingdom age is actually going to be another dispensation after this one. And Charles C. Ryrie shows in his book that every one of those dispensations, the Lord laid out a plan for mankind to be saved, and by and large, most of them ignored that plan and messed things up so bad and was so horrific in their sin that God had to bring that dispensation to a close with a cataclysmic judgment and begin another one. And so the scriptures prophesy that the dispensation that we're living in now, known as the dispensation of grace or the church age, it is going to end in a terrible cataclysm called the Great Tribulation. And then I just read for you that the next dispensation, the 1,000-year period, is also going to end with horrific rebellion against the Lord and a horrific battle known as the Battle of Gog and Magog. And so this notion that we're going to have such wonderful success that we're going to get the earth all straightened out and then be able to present to the Lord when he comes a wonderful earth that's ready for him to just step into with no battle, no wars, no one to defeat. He'll just step into it and take over and everything will be hunky-dory. That's a view that these people have imagined. It's not foretold in Scripture. They just dreamed that up. The definition of postmillennialism, a scholar by the name of Gentry contends that postmillennialism is amillennialism extended to its logical conclusion, and certainly those two views have much in common. Gentry defines the basic idea of postmillennialism as this: postmillennialism expects the proclaiming of the Spirit-blessed gospel of Jesus Christ to win the vast majority of human beings over to salvation in the present age. Increasing gospel success will gradually produce a time in history prior to Jesus' return in which faith, righteousness, peace, and prosperity will prevail in the affairs of people and of nations. And after an extensive era of such conditions, the Lord will return visibly, bodily, and in great glory, ending history with the general resurrection and the great judgment of all mankind. Another scholar named Matheson gives this definition of postmillennialism. Like amillennialism, postmillennialism teaches that the 1,000 years of Revelation 20 occurs prior to the second coming. Some postmillennialists teach that the millennial age is the entire period of time between Christ's first and second advents, while others teach that it is the last 1,000 years of the present age. According to postmillennialism, in the present age, the Holy Spirit will draw unprecedented multitudes to Christ through the faithful preaching of the gospel. Among the multitudes who will be converted are the ethnic Israelites who have thus far rejected the Messiah. At the end of the present age, Christ will return. There will be the general resurrection of the just and the unjust, and the final judgment will take place. Charles Hodge, a scholar who lived from 1797 to 1878, explained his optimistic theology this way. As therefore the scriptures teach that the kingdom of Christ is to extend over all the earth, that all nations are to serve him, and that all people shall call him blessed, it is to be inferred that these predictions refer to a state of things which is to exist before the second coming of Christ. And my response to that is, says who? It's inferred where? He's imagined this, manufactured it out of whole cloth, so to speak. This state, he says, is described as one of spiritual prosperity. God will pour out his spirit upon all flesh. Knowledge shall everywhere abound. Wars, and let me just mention, all flesh in Joel 2 does not mean every human being. It means representatives from every ethnicity. The Lord will not restrict the Holy Ghost. Any nation, people can receive the Holy Ghost. But although anyone in America can receive the Holy Ghost today, do the vast majority receive? No. Although anyone in England today can receive the Holy Ghost, do the vast majority in England receive? No. It's available. It's poured out upon all ethnicities, all nationalities, but that doesn't mean every single person within those nationalities. And so he says, knowledge shall everywhere abound, war shall cease to the ends of the earth, and there shall be nothing to hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. This does not imply that there is to be neither sin nor sorrow in the world during this long period, or that all men are to be true Christians. The tares are to grow together with the wheat until harvest. The means of grace will still be needed. Conversion and sanctification will then be what they ever have been. It is only a higher measure of the good which the church has experienced in the past that we are taught to anticipate in the future. This, however, is not the end. After this and after the great apostasy, which is to follow, comes the consummation. I want to remind you, those who are beheaded during the tribulation period will live, which means be resurrected, and will rule with Christ for 1,000 years. Amillennialism is the belief that Jesus will not reign on the earth, but is already reigning from heaven in our hearts. Other major views are premillennialism, the belief that Jesus will physically reign on the earth at some point in the future after his second coming, and postmillennialism, which holds that the church will gradually take over the world and reign for 1,000 years before Jesus' second coming. And so let me hasten on. I'll pass over the preterist view and the historicist view and the concept of futurism and hasten to the last judgment. Revelation chapter 20, verses 10 through 15, and the devil, which is the beast and the false prophet, having already been cast in prior in chapter 19. This is Satan himself. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was no place found for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So the devil is cast in. The great white throne of judgment indicates that death, which is a reference to the grave, and hell, which is a reference to Hades or the abode of the dead, will be cast into the lake of fire. It constitutes the second death. If we are born once, we die twice. If we are born twice, we die once. In the first resurrection, there is no second death. And so let's look at a summary of resurrections and judgments. The first resurrection is a resurrection only of the righteous. Revelation 20 verses 5 and 6. Jesus Christ is the first fruits of the first resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15, Matthew 27. And we read there in Matthew that Old Testament saints were raised with him. They also take part in the first resurrection. Then the church has part in the first resurrection, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And then tribulation age saints have part in the first resurrection, and they are the conclusion of it. Revelation chapter 11, Revelation chapter 14, and Revelation chapter 20. Then the second resurrection will involve mostly wicked people, but will also involve some righteous people who serve the Lord faithfully during the 1,000-year period. Anyone born and living during that 1,000-year period who lives for the Lord faithfully and has salvation and dies before that 1,000-year period ends, they would be in this general resurrection and would be resurrected unto life. However, most of the general resurrection will be wicked people from all the ages of the earth raised to judgment. Revelation chapter 20, verses 12 and 13. So here are the judgments. The judgment of sin at the cross, Hebrews 9. The present judgment of ourselves, 1 Corinthians 11 and 31. The present chastisement by God for correction, Hebrews 12, verses 5 and 6. The judgment of the works of the saints, Luke 19 and 1 Corinthians 3, verses 11 through 15. The judgment of the world and of Israel during the tribulation, Revelation chapter 6, verses 15 through 17. The judgment of nations after the tribulation, Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46. And finally, the great white throne judgment of the wicked in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 14. So what can we say of eternity? Well, beyond the great white throne of judgment, we understand there will be a new heaven and a new earth. And this is not to speak of whatever other realm or cosmos God may have made that may be the home of some angels or some other beings. But in this cosmos, we will have a new heaven and a new earth, Revelation 21. And we will have a new Jerusalem, Revelation 21. This will be a real place, John 14, verses 1 through 3. And yet, physical descriptions are only a pale representation of the reality of it. It will be the dwelling place of God in Christ. There will be no death, no sorrow, no crying, no pain. There will be fountains of the water of life, or the fountain of living water. There will be 12 gates of pearl, named for the tribes of Israel. There will be 12 foundations or precious stones, named for 12 apostles. It's designed as a perfect cube that is 1,500 miles long, 1,500 miles high, and 1,500 miles wide. Folks, that's big. There will be streets of pure gold like transparent glass. The Lamb will be the light of this place. There will be a river of life, pure and clear as crystal. The tree of life will be there with 12 kinds of fruit and healing in its leaves. There will be one throne and one who is seated on the throne, Jesus. There are warnings in Revelation chapter 21, verse 8 and verse 27. And among that, we see at the conclusion in Revelation chapter 22, two invitations. Revelation 22 and verse 17, the Spirit and the bride, we are the bride. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And then Revelation chapter 22, 20, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Let's stand together and let's lift our hands and give a great praise to the Lord. For we know without a doubt that the Lord Jesus Christ will catch away his saints, and he has accounted us to be worthy to escape all of the wrath and torment that is to come. Amen and amen.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WKMZ-FM.